Welcome back to Microsoft Virtual Academy. We're here with Adam Bertram talking about Pester. Now, he just gave us the context of why we would want to take this extra time to write these special tests, and I was convinced. So now we're going to actually look at the syntax behind Pester, and this is what I'm really interested to see, because I've heard about like it and describe, and I'm used to like verb dash noun in PowerShell, so this is kind of feels a bit weird for me, so help me out with the syntax.
Yep, this is exactly what I was talking about to Ashley earlier. It was because like it's not just PowerShell. It is PowerShell, but it doesn't really feel like PowerShell. So we are going to go into what is describe blocks and it blocks and things like that. So we're really going to get started building our first Pester test in this segment.
All right.
So let's see what we can do here.
Oh, by the way, we're using Visual Studio Code for the editor today. Some of you might be used to the traditional ISE, Integrated Script Editor. We're using VS Code, which all the cool kids are using these days. So if you haven't checked it out, it's free, cross-platform, works on Mac, Windows, Linux, and take it away.
And VS Code also has integrated support for tasks, test runner tasks. So if you do get Perfect. In, if you do use VS Code and you get really get into writing tests with Pester, you can just hit a button right in VS Code and it will run your test right there.
So, oh, nice.
Yep. All right. So first thing we want to realize is to figure out the structure of a Pester test. What is a Pester test? A Pester test consists of a lot of different things, but they have to be in a certain order and they need to be structured correctly. So the first thing you noticed here, I'm going to start off with a single describe block. And a describe block is simply a grouping of individual tests. So the tests themselves are defined here with an it block. So in a describe block, in the grand sense of things, a describe block is simply a grouping of it blocks. So you have multiple different it blocks in here. So you notice that in a describe block, there's a name. You have to define a name. In this case, that grouping that I'm going to be talking about here is just called MVA tests. Okay. It's not really a real world name. You'll see a good naming convention in a little bit.
Okay.
But for now, describe block, just a grouping of it blocks. And you have an it block, which then is the actual test that you're performing, whatever you want to do. So an it block has a name. So in here is a string, it true should be true. Well, I hope true should be true. If not, we have a false sense of reality at the moment.
Hmm.
So, and then inside of the it block, you have your actual test. So the code that you are comparing your existing code to versus your expectant code. So you're doing the actual comparison.
So the code versus the output of what we expect from the code?
The output, how the execution of the code acted, what code paths inside of there were followed, all kinds of stuff like that. But yeah, for now, we are just testing the output of the code.
So I've got a describe, which is kind of like a whole batch of tests, and I give it a name. And then I've got an it. I've got multiple its in there for every specific test within this batch.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So this first one is, it's just saying true. And then this is kind of looks a little bit different. We have a pipe should be true. Now, this is why I talk about writing tests are not just like writing PowerShell. This really isn't the way you would write PowerShell. No. It looks completely different than what you're used to. But this is how you would write tests with Pester. What this is this has this the left side of the pipe here is the code that you are executing. So true is going to return true, a Boolean true, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So the pipe here, it says pipe this to the should. Should is actually a function in Pester. So it doesn't look like a function because you don't have the verb dash noun, but it is a function.
Okay.
Should is what's called an assertion. And an assertion is it asserts that something should be something else.
Okay.
And then you have the be operator here, which Pester has a lot of these, is that it just essentially tries to make it English specific. It should sound like English. True should be true. Okay. In English sense, it sounds legitimate. It's not a bunch of cryptic stuff that you would normally not understand. So this is essentially the bare minimum of what you can do to write a Pester test.
Okay.
So to execute this, there's a few different ways, which we'll talk about here. If you're writing tests, and you don't want to put those in a test file, a PS1 script, you can actually just copy and just run this directly into your console here. I'm in VS Code. You can do this, same thing in the ISE. Just copy and paste this directly into the console.
Or hit F8?
Or hit F8.
Yep. Okay.
Whatever you want to do there, as long as you get it in the console, it's going to run just fine.
Okay.
There's no, if you've seen Pester stuff in the past, they may always say you have to write a test.ps1 file. It's not the case. Eventually, when you get all your tests all bundled up and production ready, you will need to do that.
Okay.
But for just testing, that's not necessary. So that's what it takes to do a
why don't you go ahead and run
describe
that?
Block.
Oh,
I did.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah,
there
I
it is.
Probably,
just happened so
probably
fast.
Probably do that again here. See.
Okay, yeah. So we're describing MVA tests, and true should be true.
Right? Yep.
It's green, so I'm guessing that's good.
Yep. We can actually just, go here, just make it fail on purpose.
Okay.
And then highlight that here. And
it
says the describing, but then it gives me a dash. It says true should be true, expected false, but it's true. So it gives you a kind of a red-green output of what it should do.
Okay.
So taking that concept a little bit further, we're going to implement contexts. So bare minimum, you have one describe block with one it block.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add on to that by doing multiple it blocks inside of that one describe block, so multiple of these tests. But you can also implement context blocks. Context blocks serve a lot of different purposes. So context blocks can serve as just logical groups. For example, now I'm just putting all my arithmetic tests in there and all my string matching tests in there. And we will talk about this here in a minute, but I have all these different groups of tests here. They're doing nothing more than just simple tests.
So does it provide any functionality?
Yes, it will. We were in the mocking section that we're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you how contexts affect the actual functionality to where they do some scope limitation.
So it's just a subgrouping for now.
For now, yes, it's just a subgrouping. If I don't need to do any kind of mocking or any kind of advanced things like that, I've actually created contexts of input, execution, and output. So I can test the input, test the code path inside of there, and test the different ways that functions and code can output. Yep. So in this instance, I don't have anything special here. I just have context arithmetic, and I have a bunch of simple, obvious tests in here. 1 plus 1 should be 2. 3 minus 2 should be 1. Easy stuff.
Okay.
The next one here, we're going to talk about a little bit about string matching. So string matching here, we are just matching one specific value here.
Mm-hmm.
However, here you can see up here we're using B. Here we're using B like. So this is another one of the operators of the should function that you can use. There's a lot of different operators here that Pester provides. You have be like, match, like. There's a whole kind of different operators. But this is just a shortcut to essentially doing the dash like. If you're familiar with the dash like operator, it's exactly like that. Under the covers, that's all it's doing is essentially doing a like operator.
So that reminds me, like if I say should be star something star is going to do an equality operator, and that wouldn't work.
Correct.
You have to use the like for that. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
All right.
So this is the string matching part. I just say an I should not be in team. This is the like assertion. That's why I talked about assertions. That's the technical term for this should statement here. So I'm saying like star I star. There is no I in team.
Okay.
Obviously, so this should pass. We're hoping it's going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do the same thing with match. This is the same thing as dash match operator. Should not match I. So there is no I in team.
Okay.
So this should return true. We're hoping.
Easy enough.
At least. And then finally, we have the AAA approach here, which is the AAA approach is a software development methodology to where you have an arrange, an act, and assert phases. This is the phase that I use, which you'll see used in the upcoming demos. There's a lot of different ways to design these tests, a total of different ways.
Okay.
The kind of standard is to use this mentality of arrange, act, and assert, which is arrange all the code that you need to do the test, act, which execute the tests that you're actually going to be test, and then assert is where you compare that actual value with the value that you expect. So it's kind of a mentality to use. And you can see here that I have code inside the context blocks, but it's not necessarily in the it blocks.
Okay.
So instead of putting this putting this, repeating this over and over and over again, I can put this code up here as much as what I want in this context block. And then I don't have to worry about getting my code messy in the it box, where I'll just use a variable and just compare that variable against all kinds of different things.
So does the context then act like a scope for that code? So that code would not exist, or that variable, say, string to test, would not exist outside that context?
Actually, no. Whenever you set string to test here, I need to test that out, but I'm pretty sure that you don't scope. Contexts only apply to mock scoping.
Oh, okay.
So whenever you do this here, if you reference this down farther in another text, it's probably going to be available. But yeah, variable scoping, I'm pretty sure it doesn't have anything to do with variable scoping.
Okay.
So once we define this, then we can kind of do the same thing we did here. Should not be like, should be like, same kind of it blocks we had before. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we have another one here to show a failure. And I should not be in team, match assertion, should not match I. All right, so let's see if this actually goes through. So again, we can just copy and paste all this in here. And let's see here. We've got, it says that we've got a lot of passing tests, but here's one. And I should not be in team.
Why don't we start at the top and just kind of walk through each one of these?
All right.
So we got describing, all right. First context, arithmetic. So we checked out. We can add and subtract, all right. So then we got context string matching. So we did the like and the match, those two different operators, all right. Those checked out good. Now we got the AAA, and we got a problem there.
Yep. So this is the common thing you're going to see. If you got hundreds or thousands of tests, you'll just see a bunch of stuff going down the stream. But yeah, it's nice that you have the red and green output where you can just immediately hone in on the error. So let's see what the error was here. So Pester provides a nice way to say points at your line. So it says line 34. First thing I do, I've got some tests that are thousands of lines long, the scripts. And with the line here, I can just immediately go to the line since I copied and pasted this out.
Oh, okay.
This would be in line 34 of whatever this copied it. This that's why eventually you want to put this into a Pester, a script form.
That's nice. So it tells me where to look.
Yep. Tells you where to look.
Okay.
So let's see here. String to test which one it failed. And I should not be in team. It was the like assertion. So we have, looks like we have two with the same name here. So
So it was the second one.
Yeah. All right. It was the second one. I probably shouldn't have made them with the same name.
Be like star I star.
Here, I don't have, I didn't negate it.
Right.
So I didn't have the not.
Okay.
So we could just either, if you find a test that's failing, you either look at your code. Well, was it the code that was actually wrong, or is it my test that was wrong? There's always, you know, one of the two. So for in this instance, I don't have hardly any code that I'm actually testing. I know there is no I in team. I was like, oh yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I don't, you know, that was wrong.
So I'm going to ask a real beginner question here.
Okay.
How did you know that it was even possible to say should not be like? Where did you find that?
Pester has a wiki. You can go, you can find some of the search assertions. Or I actually wrote a book, the Pester book, which has a lot of all this and more in the Pester book. So, you know, have you picked that up, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm going to right after this class. Yeah, so one of the things we're promoting throughout this workshop, or this course, is Adam's book on Pester. We want you to know that that's there. But there's also this wiki I discovered last night out on GitHub under the Pester project. And you can just use your favorite search engine to find wiki there.
We could probably just go over here real quick and...
So it's github.com/Pester.
Pester GitHub. That's why I can never remember the exact URL. So it's github.com/Pester, I guess.
Okay.
And then you can go in the GitHub.
There's a wiki link at the top. So this is the online documentation. That's probably good to know, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Here's your should. Here's all your should operators. We talked about B. There's even B exactly, B greater than.
Okay.
A lot of different operators you can use. Cool. And these are just comparison operators that work. Once you get past the, I don't use dash like or dash match or anything. These are a lot. It's a nice shortcut to use.
So is there an about help topic for this? Like about underscore that would show this same kind of thing in the shell?
Yep. You could also do help about... should. Pretty sure there's an about topic for should.
Oh, okay.
Looks like there's two of them here. Right? Through my demos and stuff, this one's going to work right. But yeah, you can just do help about should. I think there's one on just about pester as a general general information.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So does that wrap us up for syntax then?
Yep, I think so. Let's make sure. Oh, one more.
Okay.
We didn't. Is this pretty simple? We're just going to take all this code that we wrote here instead of copying and pasting.
Okay.
All we have to do is put it into a single file.
Okay.
Yep. So all I did was I created a one called mvatest.tests.ps1.
Okay.
Wrapped all this up, just did a copy and paste in here. And at this point, instead of copying and paste, we can kick that off with invoke pester. And it will run because we didn't had that failing one. It will run exactly like it did before. But the only difference between that we did before with invoke pester, you see down here, test completed in 177 milliseconds, test passed, failed. We kind of have this summary. Invoke pester gives us this summary. So good development way, copy and paste as you're writing the describe blocks. And then when you're finally ready to make it, get it live and to take a go, put it into a test.ps1. It's recommended to do test.ps1 because if there's multiple tests, multiple scripts in a folder, invoke pester is run them all. But you don't necessarily have to.
Okay.
But that's all there is to it. Just run invoke pester and the script file.
So if it's a PS1 file, it's already a script. Why do I have to say invoke pester with a script path? Why can't I just call the script by itself?
You could. That's exactly the same what we were doing here as just copying and pasting. It's the same thing. We could put it in a script by itself and just run the script and it would run exactly like we did here.
Okay.
However, whenever we get into mocking and more of the advanced sort of things, invoke pester does a lot of stuff under the hood to make sure all those mocks and scopes and things like that exist.
Okay.
And plus, it gives you options to change the output, which we're going to see later on. A lot of different options and things like that, automatic execution and a summary and a lot of different things that you need there.
Well, thanks, Adam. So that's a great overview of pester syntax. Now, I know that was a little quick. You might want to go back and watch this segment a couple times to just kind of get familiar. Check out that wiki on the pester site at GitHub and get familiar with some of that syntax. Maybe even take a quick break and practice a little bit of this on your own just to kind of mock it up in your own lab and kind of play with it. And then when we come back, we want to talk about more test design. And so thank you, Adam, and stay tuned.
Yep, thank you.